Good morning.
Good morning.
Some of you peruse your schedule, the preaching schedule, and you was assured that Dr. Richardson would be here standing, speaking to you today. I'm sorry to tell you there was a substitution made. He's a little taller, and he wears white shirts. Mine's a blue. Let us pray. Father God, thou art an awesome God. You know all about each one of us. And you have a plan that each one of us strive to follow. We pray, God, that as we come and study and meditate on thy word, that we will begin to change from the inside out, that our walk and our talk will reflect favorably on you. That more often than not, people will find us doing what is pleasing in thy sight. We pray that sinner man who will never set foot in a sanctuary, will never read a Bible, may get a glimpse of what it means to be a child of God just by observing us. In the wee hours of the morning when nobody's around, God, it is our prayer that we be found faithful. Please, God, open our hearts and minds and let us receive what you have for us this day. Use this thou servant to help your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Hear ye the words of God as recorded by the beloved disciple, the apostle John, John 14, verses 15 through 24, and I'll be reading from the NIV version of the Bible. Hear ye the words of the apostle John. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor know him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Then Judas, not Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belongs to the Father who sent me." Thus end the reading of the Word of God. May God bless the hearers, the readers, and doers of his Word. Never alone is what God laid on my heart to share with you this day. And let me begin this way. This poem. One night I had a dream, or I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with my Lord, across the dark sky flashed the scenes of my life. For each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to me, and one to my Lord. After the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand, and I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially at the very lowest and saddest time, there was only one set of footprints. That really troubled me. So I asked my Lord about it. Lord, you said once I decided to follow you, you'll walk with me always. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troubling times of my life, there was only one set of footprints in the sand. I don't understand. Why? When I needed you the most, you would leave me. Wow. I don't know about you, but if you live long enough, the cares of this world will sometimes overtake what you're trying to do. We sometimes tell Christians that if you accept Jesus, your Lord and Savior, everything will be all right. And that's not exactly the full truth. Being a child of God, trying to walk in a way that's pleasing in a sin-sick world means that you're destined to have problems. And there's times those problems get so overwhelming that you'll forget that you are a child of God. But yet we read in the Word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know about you, but I believe the Bible is true. I believe that when God tells me that he will never leave me nor forsake me, I have to take that at faith. Even when the circumstances I'm facing make me feel like I'm all alone. And may I slow down and ask the question, have any of you ever felt, even in a crowd, that you're all alone? Have the cares of the day, the problems that came in your life, become so overwhelming that you feel like you can't even pray and talk to God? Have you ever found yourself when you're struggling to call on God's name, his words are the words that you think you want to say will not come through the lips? Have you ever called somebody at old dark 30 and they didn't respond? Being a pastor, I find it's interesting. When I get a call at 3 in the morning, one of the first questions they ask, did I wake you? Now, part of me be saying, how should I answer this question? In my former life, that would have been a good thing to ask. But now that I have professed to be a Christian and I'm your pastor, where should I be at 3 in the morning except but in bed, unless I'm preparing a sermon? So I normally say, well, you know, it's okay. And you need to understand, at the McCarty household, we have a routine. The old phone is next to the bed on the side where my wife sleeps. So to get me, you got to wake her. And she'll wake me so when I answer you, I don't sound like I'm just waking up. But you know something? We live in a world where communication is so great that folks can look at the phone and tell who's calling. And sometimes, some of us don't want to be bothered. We said we are your friend. We said you can call me anytime. But you notice something? I found out that trouble don't keep the schedule that I keep. Trouble have a tendency to come in them weird hours. You know, it'd be nice if trouble showed up between 8 and 5. That'd have been just right. But trouble don't keep that schedule. He show up when you least expect him. When your mind on something else, he will show up and cause you to wonder. And if you're not careful, begin to think that you're all alone. Even the best of friends sometimes get tired of talking to you. I've answered that question. I've gave my recommendation. That the word said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to give you 3 points and then get out your way. They're all going to be P's. Proof, prayer, and promise. Now, so I will feel at home. Please say them with me. Proof. Ooh. Maybe with my southern drawl, you didn't hear what I said, so let's try this again. Proof.
Proof.
Prayer.
Prayer.
Promises.
Promise.
Thank you. Now I can feel at home. John in 14, 15 said, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And I stand here in front of you and ask the question, are you a Christian or are you a chameleon? We, most of us grew up in Christian families and we're part of the covenant family and we learn the word of God. We heard, we've been hearing it all our lives. We don't think about what we're going to do on Sunday. It's a routine. We know we're going to read our word, we're going to do a little meditation, and we're going to make it off to the God house. Some of us still believe Sunday school is okay. We were actually show up at Sunday school, and some of us got so bold that we would actually teach Sunday school. But, you know, some of us, we done graduated. We only do church. Sunday school is for the babes in Christ. We have matured. So we don't need to do Sunday school. Are you a Christian or are you a chameleon? Because you've been exposed to the Christian life most of your life, are you going through the motion acting like you're a Christian but really not a child of God? Wow. John asks a question that we Christians really need to slow down and think about. Jesus said here, if you love me, obey me. It is just like James saying, faith without works is dead. If you don't obey God, you're basically saying, I don't love you. And brothers and sisters, if you don't love the Lord, if you haven't sold out to be a child of God, then brothers and sisters, you have made a conscious decision to spend eternity in hell. There's only two kind of people in this world, those going to heaven and those going to hell. And brothers and sisters, I love you dearly, but let me say something very clearly. Miss Brown's oldest daughter, been married to her for 42 years. Love her dearly. Would die for her. But I refuse to go to hell with her. And guess what? Most of us should refuse to follow someone into hell. We have got to demonstrate in our Christian walk that we are children of God. And you don't do it by having a big cross around your neck. You don't do it by carrying a big Bible. You don't do it by every time you say something to somebody, you close the word, thank you, Jesus, or praise the Lord. You don't do it by quoting scriptures. You don't do it by reading Hebrew and Greek. You do it by living a life that reflects that you're a child of God. You do it by doing the things that the word of God requires of you, even when you don't want to. And brothers and sisters, it is important that you understand it is not what you desire. It is what God desires of you and your willingness to do what he called you to do. Are you a Christian or a chameleon? If someone will give an account of your life, when all is said and done, will they say, I believe that you're a Christian? Wow. It is my prayer that everybody here have professed a belief in Jesus Christ and accept him as the Lord and Savior. Yes. I perceive I'm standing in front of a group of people who have been elected by God. But I also believe I'm standing in front of a group of people who have freely accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's not because Christ made you or God forced you. It's because you willingly looked in the mirror and realized that you was a wretch destined for hell, and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Not because we are so great or so mighty, not because we are so smart, but because God loved us and demonstrated his love to us in such a way that it caused us to realize that if I want to be his, I have to change. And my life must reflect that I am his child. So the proof. Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. And John went on to say in his epistle, how can you say you love the Lord whom you have not seen and hate your brother who you do see? Command to love one another. And brothers and sisters, I have learned through my years, I can't do that by myself. I have to fall on my knees and cry out to God, teach me how to love like your son loved. How is it that God, you know all about me, and yet you let your son die for me? Help me that when I see someone made in your image, to find some way to love them, to demonstrate my love to them. Let my actions say that I love you. A preacher, that ain't no big deal. Okay. All right, it's not a big deal. But the word of God said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Wow. The love of God forced me to preach and teach the gospel, even in places where I don't want to go, because it is needed. You know what scares me? What scares me more than everything, and the reason I asked the question? Because somewhere I was reading in my Bible, and I came across this verse in Matthew 7:21-23. And this scared me. Not everyone who said, Lord, Lord, would enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will say, depart from me. I know ye not. Are you a Christian or are you a chameleon? So much for the proof. What about the prayers? Look at John 14:16-18. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you. Wow. The person who's saying, I will, is Jesus. He's telling the disciples, I will go to the Father. I know I'm leaving you. And he had foretold his departure. He had told him he's going to leave. He even looked at him and said, Peter, you know what? You're going to deny me three times. He even looked at him and said, one of your 12 going to betray me. But you know what? You guys going to all leave me. And yet here he is telling them, yes, I'm going. I am going, but I will ask the Father to send you some help. God the Son knew that you and I could not live in this sin-sick world in a way that was pleasing to him without help. We need the help of God, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to walk circumspectly in a world that is always enticing us to do what's wrong. Brothers and sisters, it is easy to walk down the wide road. It is hard to walk down the narrow road and stay faithful. So Christ prayed and interceded on our behalf. He asked the Father to give us help. In Romans, Paul tells us, who then is the one who condemns us? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, and is at the right hand of God, doing what? Interceding on our behalf. Wow. We are never alone. When you read in the Word about Jesus said, I'm coming back, you look at that and you wrestle, what is he saying? He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming back. Yes, the Spirit came out, was poured out at Pentecost. And once he came to dwell with us forever. He didn't come to stand a little while and then leave. He came to make his abode permanent with us. Isn't that amazing? Christ going to heaven to prepare a place for you. And, you know, King James said, I'm going to prepare a place. In my Father's house, there's many mansions. And we like to have mansions. We don't want to go to a little shiny kind of shack. We want something big. So mansions means a lot to us. He's going to help prepare a mansion. But guess what? Because he knows we're still here, he and the Father and the Holy Spirit will make his dwelling with us. Here in a sin-sick world, God in the Holy Spirit is here with us and in us. None of us have to sin. Every sin we commit, we choose to. For the Word said there's no temptation taking you, but such is coming to man. With every temptation, God will provide a way for us to. Let me ask you a question. Most of you are familiar with a red light, stop light. Y'all can nod your head, it's okay. I'm a Baptist guy, so it's no big deal. Have three lights. Red, knowing means stop. Green means go. But the one in the middle is interesting. And depending on which way you're going is how you interpret that one in the middle. As we're driving down the road, we see the light, it's on green and it turns yellow. It do not mean speed up. But most of us, if we're in a hurry, I can make the light. It just told me a little more gas and I'm good. Now we know the light is changing. Probably better for me to slow down and stop. But we actually choose to speed up to go through the light. We know right from wrong, but we choose to do wrong. None of us have to sin, but we choose to sin. And what is scary about that, God knows it. And yet God loves us so much that he still makes provisions for us. The Spirit in us were telling us, John, you need to slow down. You can't make it. Stop, John. And I pray more often than not, you're not like John who said, I can make it. You slow down and you stop. You obey the Spirit and remind you what thus says the Lord. Hmm. So God has put a spirit here to be with us. I done talked to you about the proof. Talked to you a little about prayer. Now, what about the promise? And brothers and sisters, the promise is entailed in all that I've been saying. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The promise here is, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The promise here, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The promise, as David said in the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will feel no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Your promise. We have to have enough faith to believe in God that when everything around us tells us not so, we got to believe what the Word of God say. We got to have a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego moment. O King, even if my God will not save me, I refuse to bow down. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And the beauty of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said they heated the furnace 7 times hotter and they threw them in, and it was so hot that the men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in died because it was so hot. Wow. But see, in the black church, we don't stop there. We like to read the rest of it. Because you look, the king was startled. He was looking to the furnace. The king was a fairly educated man. He can count. How many folks we throw it in there? 1, 2, 3. But wait a minute. There's 4 in there. And 1 looked like, no, it can't be God. Wow. We're never alone. If we are God's children, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, brothers and sisters, I stand here and tell you that you will never be alone. God's word is true. I don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you would leave me. God, how can you do that to me? And God, in a sweet whisper, look me in the eye, my precious child. I love you, and I will never leave you. Never, ever. During your trials or testing, when you saw one set of footprints, it was I wrapped my arms around you, and I carried you. The only set of footprints you saw was mine, carrying you to safety. And when you saw 2 again, it's when I put you down, when I knew you could deal with the situation. Brothers and sisters, let me close by reading to you a favorite verse at Catalina Missionary Baptist Church. We like to remind people about the love that God have. And it comes to us from the Apostle to the Gentiles, Romans. Romans 8, and I'm starting reading it, 35. I close with this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or dangers or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither present or future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We are never alone. No matter how dark it may seem, no matter what the world may be saying to you, because you are his child, you're never alone. He will never leave you. When everybody disappears, God will be with you and he will carry you through. And when all said and done, remember I told you about that mansion? Keep reading your Bible. You get in Revelation, you start running down to my 12,000 from this tribe and 12,000 from that tribe. I'm not a Jew, no big deal. But I keep reading. Because I keep reading, I get over there, and there was a number that no man can count. And that number included people from every tribe and every nation, every tongue. I don't know about you, but I am assured that one day I'll be in glory. I'll be there with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'll be there with the saints that went before. I will be there because I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Yes, he chose me. And I was just dumb enough to accept his call. Brothers and sisters, we are never alone. Let's pray. Lord God, I don't know what trouble is going on in the lives of these your children. I know that life is not easy. You walk in one class, one professor, give you 30 books to read and tell you he want to report on it. You go to another class and this professor trying to outdo that one, so he asked for 50. You go to another class and one look at and say, no, I'm not going to ask you to read anything. I just want you to give me a 50-page paper. It is amazing, God, the demands. But then, God, you bless me with a spouse. And she liked to see me every now and then. Wow, God, the demands. And Lord, you bless me and my spouse with children. And you know, they like to know they have a father or mother every now and then. Lord, I got so much to do, I can't get sick. Lord, please, I must stay healthy. God, I got so much to do, I don't have time to talk to you. In times like these, please, Lord, let your spirit give us the desire to slow down, to steal away to a quiet place, and look to the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that it's come from thee and thee alone. And to cry out, here I am, Lord. Help me. Help me manage these affairs of my life. Show me the way to be the best spouse I can be, a godly spouse. Teach me how to be the parent that my child need, my children need. Lord God, open my mind and heart to let me be able to grasp what I read and what I hear. Please call it back to memory and let me do it in a way to bring glory to you. Please, Lord, let my walk reflect that I am a child of God. Help, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Help us to obey the Father's will. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.